Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome, 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 once again, the Church of Christ of the United States of America comes to our world audience by radio and by internet. We are thankful for all of those who have decided to accept our invitation to be on this radio broadcast tonight, to participate in our Thursday night program, a special program that we designed in order to receive and to answer questions from our radio listening audience. I know that many of the things that I have presented in this program is not in agreement with most religious practices today. And therefore, many of you who are part of those religious organizations might want to question or even challenge things that I have said from the Bible as to whether it is true or actually true or not. And certainly, we can defend the truth by the scriptures. So we want to take your questions tonight, give you the Bible's answer, because in your, certainly you need to know for assurance whether our message is true so that you might make a decision about whether to obey the truth in order to be saved or not. We know one thing, if it's not true, it cannot provide you with God's eternal grace of salvation. If it's not true, you can't please God in obeying it. No way can we obey a lie and be saved for eternity in heaven. It just doesn't happen, ladies and gentlemen. God guarantees it don't. God says in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 15, "And whosoever was not found written in the Lamb's book of life was cast into the lake of fire." This is the second death. The second death is eternal damnation in hell. It's eternal death. Those who are cast into hell are those who are not a part of the written will of God. The Bible is the Lamb's book of life. The New Testament specifically is the Lamb's book of life, because the Lamb refers to Jesus Christ, the sacrifice that he gave on behalf of man's sins on the cross. He is the Lamb of sacrifice that God provided for man's sin and his redemption from sin and his eternal salvation. So if we're not following the written law of Christ, the New Testament, then we are men most miserable, because our souls are lost for all eternity because we have not obeyed the truth. Jesus says that he is the truth. John chapter 14, verse 6. He says, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the eternal life. No man can reach heaven where the Father is, except he submit to the will of Christ, who is the eternal Father." See, Jesus, the man, was the sacrifice for our sins, but Jesus, the Son of God, is God. He is one spirit, as God is one spirit. He is one Lord, as God is one God. He is one body, as the church is one church. Christ built one church because he has one spiritual family, and the church is his spiritual family. The church is his spiritual kingdom, and he only has one kingdom. God has one kingdom forever. From everlasting to everlasting, God has one kingdom. The kingdom is manifest today through the church. If you're in the church, you're in the kingdom. If you're not in the church of Christ, you're not in the kingdom. The church of Christ is the designation. It's the designated name and identity, kingdom of heaven. If you're not in the church of Christ, then you're not in the kingdom of heaven. If you're not in the kingdom of heaven, you are not saved. You're not a child of God, nor can you be saved except you obey the gospel of Christ. Unless you are baptized into the one body, okay, by the Spirit of grace, the Spirit of God, in water baptism, unless you're baptized into the one body, you're not a part of the one body, and you're not saved. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, rather, in verse 13. For by one Holy Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Gentile. And we've all been made to drink from one spiritual fountain of grace. That spiritual fountain is the Holy Ghost, whom God is. The Holy Spirit is God. God, the Holy Spirit, is our God. So when we look at the scriptures, we see that there is one God, and God is one. He is one God, one Spirit, one Father, one Lord, one Savior. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 4, there is one body. Even as you are called in one hope of your calling, there's one baptism. There's one Lord. There's one hope. There's one Father. There's one God who is above all, through all, and in all of you. Who is you? Those who have obeyed the gospel of Christ, have been baptized in water baptism according to faith in the gospel, and are now members of the spiritual church of Jesus Christ, which is the kingdom of Christ, which is the spiritual family of Christ, which is the wife of Christ, which is the spiritual body of Christ. Oh, yes. Christ is married to God. If you're not a child of God, and you're not a member of the church of Christ, you can't be married to God spiritually. You are still in your sins. You're unsaved. The Bible teaches us that in plain words. No need for a whole lot of interpretation and, you know, language translation. It's written in plain English. In Romans chapter 7 and verse 4, the Bible says, we have become dead to the law. The what law? The law of sin and death. We become dead to that law by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. So that in Christ we are married to another husband. We're no longer married to sin and death. We're married to a new husband, even to him who was raised from the dead. Who was raised from the dead? Jesus Christ. We are married to Jesus Christ now. He is the living Word. He is the living God. He is the living Savior. He is the only potentate, the almighty God, all-powerful God. He is above all, through all, in you all. That is, he is omnipresent, and he is omniscient. He is the all-wise God. He is the all-present God who is present everywhere, the God with no limitation to his being and presence. God is not governed, nor is he subject to time and space like we are. We are finite. We are subject to time and space. God is not subject to time and space. Time and space exist in God. God does not exist in time and space. And when God decides, time and space will be no more. And all that will be left, God and heaven and hell and Satan. And we're going to live eternity somewhere. We are created with an eternal spirit from God. That's right. Our spirit was not designed nor given to exist in hell, which is total separation from God for all eternity. Our spirit was not designed for that. We don't obey God and please God in faithful devotion and obedience to his will and commandment. We will live in the pain and horror and suffering of the absence of the Spirit of God for eternity. That's what hell is. It's where God is not. God is cannot exist in hell. So you cannot be in God and exist in hell. Hell is a total absence from God for all eternity. That's not where we want to go spiritually. We know that our physical body will die, go back to the dust, be dissolved. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 through 11, God is going to come back, and the earth and the elements, the sun, the moon, and the stars, the universe, the cosmos will be dissolved, will be melted, will vanish away and go back to the nothingness that it was before the beginning. All that will be left is the spiritual existence, the eternal spirit, the eternal spirit of God, spirit of Satan, the eternal spirit of mankind. Where will you spend eternity? There are two choices. Heaven, hell. That's the only two choices for the eternal soul, the eternal spirit of man. Your spirit will exist in one of those two realms. Both are spiritual realms, but one is spiritual life, the other is spiritual death. We pray that all of you tonight, no matter what religious faith you believe and practice, have the intention of trying to please God in your spiritual faith, in your religious habit, so that you might live with God. But I warn you, ladies and gentlemen, radio listeners, I warn you, the 600-plus multitudes of religious churches and doctrines in the world are not the answer to your situation. They're not the answer to that problem. The problem of serving God and pleasing God lies within our desire and our willingness to leave all of the man-made and man-founded religious institutions and come into the religious institution that was founded, built, bought and paid for, and married to Christ, the Church of Christ, the Kingdom of Christ, the wife of Christ, the household of Christ, the children. We are called Christians because our religious name is Christ, because we're the offspring of Christ. My offspring are my children that I begat. Yes, that's my offspring. When they were begotten, they were named Williams. No one had to ask. No one had to guess. My children did not have to join my family. They were born into my family. and their birth certificate says Williams. I am their father. I am the begatter. James chapter 1, verse 18 tells us that Jesus Christ, the Word, is the begatter. So when we are born into the spiritual family of God, our name is, our proper name is Christ. We are Christians. We are children of Christ. We are Christians only. We're not Baptist Christians or Catholic Christians or Methodist Christian, or any kind of hyphen Christian. We are just Christians because we don't have the name, we don't wear the name Baptist, we don't wear the name Catholic, Methodist, Lutheran, or any other name. We don't wear the name Potter's House. We don't wear the name Church Without Wall. We don't wear the name Lakewood. We don't wear any name but the name of Christ. That's because we honor our spiritual begatter, our spiritual father, who is Jesus Christ, the invisible God, the almighty God, the all-powerful God, the one and only Savior of the soul, the creator of heaven and earth and all that therein is. Colossians chapter 1, verses 14 through 17. Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 28. John the 1, verses 1 through 15. Jesus Christ is God the Creator, and He is God the Savior. And He is God the ruler, and He is God the Father, and He is God the King. He is God, the spiritual husband of His spiritual church. Just as God is one, the church is one church. We are exhorted, commanded, and instructed in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 10, 11, and 12. The Apostle Paul, writing by the powerful inspiration of the Spirit of God, says to you, brethren, that you walk worthy of the calling to which you are called. And let there be no divisions among you, but be ye perfectly joined together, completely 100% together, in one mind, one spirit, one rule and direction, one faith, not 600 faiths, not multiple faiths, one faith. Let there be no, not even an iota of any difference among you. Be the same. Be one in everything, because that's the will of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 10 through 14. And Paul even asked a question. Who died for you? Everybody says, Christ. Who gave his life on the cross for you? Everybody says, Christ. Who is the king of the spiritual kingdom of God? Everybody says, Christ. Who is the Savior? Everybody says, Christ. Then how can you wear other religious names? How can you practice other religious faiths? How can you be anything but a child of the King, a member of the Church Christ, a worshiper of the faith, saved believer in the household of faith Christ. How can you be anything but a Christian, a member of the Church of Christ, the spiritual family? See, in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 6, the Holy Spirit says, we see Christ, a son over his own house, whose house we are. We have been obedient to the gospel command, and if we are faithful in following the doctrine that has been given to us by inspiration from God. The New Testament Bible is the New Testament revelation of God to mankind forever. There will be no new revelation. There will be no additional revelation other than the one that God gave to man by his servants, the disciples and ministers of Christ. That's it. There's not going to be another. There was and has been no other, nor will there ever be. In A.D. 93, when the Holy Spirit was giving John the last revelation, at the end of that, the Holy Spirit sealed up the book. It's complete. It has God's stamp of approval because God gave it. God wrote it. And he had John and the apostles preach it. He has ministers of faith today to preach that same gospel that the apostles, 33 A.D., May 28th, that Sunday morning, beginning at 9 o'clock, that same gospel message is being taught today because the same gospel saves those who obey it today. There's not a new gospel. There's not a different gospel. There's not another gospel in addition to the gospel. Only the gospel that was preached in 33 A.D. on the day of Pentecost, beginning at 9 o'clock by the 12 apostles in Jerusalem. That same gospel saves today those who obey it. Yes, the gospel has a commandment to obey. Jesus says in Mark 16:15-16, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, everybody. Whosoever believeth the gospel and is baptized shall be saved. Acts chapter 2 and verse number 38. After the Jews who had heard the gospel sermon from Peter and the apostles, they became convicted in their heart, in their mind. And they said, well, men and brethren, what are we going to do about this? What can we do about it? We accept the fact that we are guilty of violating the will of God by condemning an innocent man when we had no reason or right to do so. What can we do about it now? Listen to God's answer through the Apostle Peter. God said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the removal of your sins, and you shall receive the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God, a gift from God. You're going to receive God's gift, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. You receive the Holy Ghost. Oh, yes. That happens to every Christian or every person who obeys the gospel of Christ. From that day even to this day, it still happens to every member, spiritual body of Christ. We receive the indwelling of the Holy Spirit by the Word. Yes, the Word of God is spirit and eternal life. And as we receive it, believe it, and commit it to our mind, we are ingesting, we are receiving, we are being directed by the Holy Spirit of God dwelling in our mind, dwelling in our life, dwelling in us through the word, the revelation of God. That's what we do today. And if you don't have the word of God as your rule of life, you don't have the Spirit of God in your life. You are rejecting and denying the Spirit access into your mind and your heart of faith. Yeah, you're denying it. You cannot be saved, nor are you saved. So we have to believe and obey the truth. That's the only way, ladies and gentlemen. Well, listen, let me give you a few instructions. We've got a good 35 minutes of air time tonight to take questions and give answers. And so if you are on the telephone call, if you've called in to the radio station, wherever you are in the world, if you've called into the radio station, you dial 347-850-8256. Then you are already a listener on this radio broadcast. All you need to do is push number one on the telephone keypad on your dial. Push number one, and Brother Brian Brown, our faithful program moderator and my assistant in this program ministry, will cue you into this radio broadcast where you can ask your question of this minister. You can ask it, and we promise you one thing. We will answer your question with the word of God. We'll give you the book, chapter, and verse, and the understanding, the interpretation of that verse to answer your question. You can write it down. You can go back and read it for yourself and study it for yourself and see that the truth is being in the word of God. And let that be your solution, your answer to any question of religious faith and doctrine that you have. It's up to you, ladies and gentlemen, sir and ma'am. It's up to you to decide. But tonight, you can ask any that you have regarding religious practice, religious belief, religious faith, religious teaching, because you got a lot of false teachers in these 600 denominational churches that are teaching you spiritual lies and causing you to disobey God and to obey the devil, because they are the ministers of Satan who are disguised to appear as ministers of Christ in order to deceive you and to lie to you and to cause you to accept their lying interpretation. Oh, they don't have a Bible. Satan doesn't have a Bible. He didn't give his ministers a Bible. They take God's Bible and they misuse it. They misteach it. They misinterpret it and tell it to you so that you might be deceived into believing what you think is the truth when it is not. The word of God speaks for itself. It does not need a lot of wisdom and philosophy of men to properly teach and interpret it. It is self-interpreted for everybody desires and who studies and wants to know the truth. Everybody has to be a student of the Bible, not just the preacher or the teacher. Every person who has faith in God must be a student of the word of God. We got to study it. There's no excuse. There's no getting away from it. If you do not study the word of God for yourself, you will not know for assurance whether you have obeyed the truth or not. You will have no confirmation of the faith that you have accepted and embraced at the preaching of your teacher. Yeah. You have nothing to confirm or substantiate that if you don't study the Word of God for yourself. This is a worldwide radio broadcast which serves as a Bible study for every person who attends. This is a Bible class. So you can ask questions. You can challenge what we teach. And we will have to give you Bible proof, Bible substantiation to prove it. It's not our philosophy. It's not my mind. I didn't think this stuff up. I didn't figure it out. All I am is a preacher of truth. So you can always question me. You can always challenge me. You can always ask whether I have the authority to teach what I teach. Challenge that authority. You can say, like some people say, well, you're making that up. That's not what the Bible teaches. I'll have to prove to you that's what the Bible teaches. And the only proof I have is the Bible. That's all I have. I can't prove it to you by some other book written by some philosopher or some Greek theologian or anything. No. I have to give it to you from the Bible. The Bible proves itself. It is perfect. It is complete. It lacks nothing for you to know and understand and believe the truth. It's all there. All you have to do is decide to accept what the Bible teaches and not what some other person has taught you. See, a lot of you have been taught that water baptism has no value and is not even important. It can't do anything for you for eternal life and salvation. The biggest lie that the devil's ministers have ever told. But I understand that there are billions of people in religion today who believe that lie and who have obeyed the lie by that criterion. They don't embrace, they condemn those who have and tell you that you're not saved. Water baptism can't save you. Yeah. Water baptism can't save you. Water can't do anything for you. But God placed salvation in the medium of water baptism by faith. So you got to believe in God in order to be baptized in water and be saved. Your body, your physical body is not saved. It just gets wet. But your spiritual man becomes saved, becomes free from sin, and added to the spiritual family of God for eternal life. Yeah. The spiritual man gets saved. The body doesn't get saved. The body is not a member of the Church of Christ. Only the spirit is a member of the Church of Christ, eternal life. The flesh and the spirit do not have a perfect relationship. They do not. They are opposed to each other. The will of the flesh and the will of the spirit is two different opposing wills. So they have no agreement. If you want to be saved, you must agree with the spirit of God, not the flesh of man. It's the whole idea. And we are to live a spiritual life. That is a life in the spirit and not merely in the flesh. As a matter of fact, we can't live in the flesh and please God. What we're talking about, Brother William, we're talking about the immoral conduct, the immoral character of the fleshly mind and fleshly will. We can't have eternal life in that. That's dead. God does not approve, nor will he approve of that lifestyle. God wants us to live in the Spirit, that is, by the direction and teaching of the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, that is spiritually alive. It is living. Huh? The Word of God is quick. It is alive and powerful. The Word of God is God. God is the all-powerful God. There is none equal to or beside him. There is none greater. There is none even close. God has all the power and deserves all the glory and obeisance. So we ought to obey God and not the devil. We ought to obey God and not man. Man must obey God if he expects to save his soul for all eternity. And that's where we are today, ladies and gentlemen. That's our message to you tonight. That's our commitment to your soul salvation, is to tell you the truth so that you might be able to know and obey. Brother Williams can't save anybody. Jesus saves. No man can save you. Jesus, who is God, our Savior, Jesus saves. Therefore, you must be in Christ. To be in Christ, you must be baptized into Christ. That's the only way you can get in. You must be baptized into verses 1 through 4. We are buried by baptism into Christ. That just like Christ was raised by the power of God from the dead, the man Christ was raised by God. The flesh and blood man was raised from the dead in the flesh by the power of God. And Jesus Christ is God, who was abiding in that flesh. So as Jesus said, you destroy this temple, in 3 days I'll raise it up. He's speaking of the temple of his body. He's referring to his body as a temple. Yes, your body is a temple. And God dwells in your body by faith through the Spirit. And God does not dwell or live or abide in an unclean temple. What makes our temple unclean? Worldly, fleshly, thought, characteristics, and attitudes. That's what makes our temple, our life. That's what makes it defiled. Okay? It's not about the physical body itself. It's about the fleshly mind and will, which governs and dictates to the physical living and the physical body. We got to deny and we got to submit to the spiritual will of God and live as spiritual men, God men, and not earth and fleshly men, but God men. We live in the Spirit of God. We live by the power of God. We are directed to the highest, supreme, moral, and virtuous living. The true love for humankind that is a result of the realization and understanding of the spiritual love of God. If you don't have the love of God, you can't forgive a person who offends you in life. they do you a cruelty or a dishonest or a disservice, you can't forgive them unless you have the love principle, the love expression of God. It goes beyond and transcends human emotion. It's not emotional love. Emotional love is a human love. But God's love is a perfect love. And the perfect love of God removes fear, disadvantage, or taken advantage of, or being killed or murdered. We don't have to fear any of that in the perfect love of God, because God's love will never do that. That love that God tells us to have for our fellow man, for his soul, it will never do harm. It does not harm you, nor does it harm your fellow man. It can only bless. It can only comfort. It can only provide caring, mercifulness. That's what the love of God in man does for man and for the soul of man. So we are created to live like God, live spiritual lives. And when we die out of this fleshly life, living a spiritual life in faith, I didn't say a perfect life. We can't do that of our own will. But we can have a perfect life because as spiritual, obedient disciples of Christ, we have the blessing of the forgiveness of God for eternity. We all receive the blessing of the forgiveness of God when we are born into Christ. Yes. See, we can ask our Father for forgiveness. That is, after we repent of our sin. You can't keep sinning and asking forgiveness, because God is not going to forgive sins that you have not stopped doing. Repenting means you got to stop doing wrong and turn and start doing right. That's what repentance is. You got to turn away from wrong and turn to the right. And if you don't stop doing the sinning, God will not forgive you of the sin. You will die with that sin that you have not repented of, and you will be condemned to eternity away from God. Eternal death, pain, and suffering. That will be your eternal reward and your eternal destiny. It's called hell in the Bible. So, if you got any question tonight, push number one. You don't have to wait till I get through talking. You can do it anytime. You can do it right now. Push number one. Let us hear your question. Let us receive your question or your comment or your challenge. Let us receive that, and we will respond by the word of God. We promise you, we will give you the book, chapter, and verse to substantiate what we teach from the word of God. And we give you that so you can go and study it for yourself. You don't have to take my word for it. Take God's word for it. Understand what the will of the Lord is and take God's word for it. God bless you. Any questions? We're going to pause. Pause for just a minute and let you gather your question and come on the line and ask it, or decide on your comment and come on the line and share it with us. Okay? So we're going to wait 1 minute, and if there are no questions after that, we're going to bid you farewell and invite you to the next. So Brother Williams is going to be quiet for just a moment. Just a moment. I I apologize. Let me remind you, if you have a question or a statement to make, push number one on your telephone keypad, and that will signal Brother Brian Brown, my assistant and our program moderator, and then he will cue you into the call where you can ask your question. All right. Hope everybody heard that. Let's do that. All right, to my radio audience, we've waited to receive a question. It appears that no one who is listening to this radio broadcast tonight has a question to ask of this minister. But I want to leave you with a question. I want you to take your time and figure out the answer. And we want to invite you to come back on Tuesday of next week. Same time, same phone number, same internet location. Come back Tuesday and give me your answer to this question. I want someone, or all of you, to tell me, where did all the different church religions and faiths and baptisms that are practiced come from? We got all kind of names, all kind of religious doctrines. We got the doctrine of sainthood, and we got the doctrine of the Mother Mary, Mother of God. We got the doctrine of communion or no communion. We have the doctrine of different baptisms. One is sprinkling, one is pouring, one is immersing, and the other is none at all. Where did all these things come from? Who started them? Where did your church, your faith, your religious, where did it get started? Who started it? Who founded it? How did it get started? What happened on the first day? The Bible tells us what happened on the first day that the church began in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 47. I want to know, where did yours begin? Because I know it's not in the Bible. You know it's not in the Bible. It's not written there. And you know if it's not written there, it's going to be cast into hell. If you're one of those churches that didn't start by God, they're going to be cast into hell. Where do you think you're going to go? To hell. Everything associated with that faith, that religion, is going to hell. God is not saving any of that. God doesn't believe in that. He don't believe in saving a little evil. You know, he don't believe in getting rid of most of it and then saving a little piece of it. God doesn't do that. God is too perfect. He's too just. He is too wise to fall for that foolishness. It'll all be destroyed. I mean all. That's every bit of it. But you want to be real careful and be real wise in deciding whether you will continue in a religious faith that you can't even read about in the scripture. You obey religious rules that are not even written in the Bible. You're going to follow a religious doctrine that is not taught in the New Testament Bible. You need to be careful. You need to repent, turn away from that, and come to Jesus. Praise the Lord. So be with us on Tuesday. We look forward to having you there. You can ask questions Tuesday as well. You don't have to wait till Thursday to ask questions. You can ask questions Tuesday. You already know what to do. Call in and push number one on your keypad, and you'll be able to ask your question. Simple as that. Okay? So you know what to do. Just come back, says, because we're going to give you the Word of God, which is given to us by the revelation and power of God
the Holy Spirit. God bless you until we meet again. Goodbye. Good evening. Good morning. Good afternoon. And good night.